You're now listening to the Architect Introspect, the Architect's official radio broadcast. My name is AJ Schoff, and today's stories include a look at a possible athletics fee increase, the reopening of the Williamson building, an editorial on Tech's recent mask mandate removal, and an argument concerning the underrepresented yet superior battlefield weapon. So, without further ado, let's get into our first story of the day by co-editor-in-chief Tara Espinoza.
The SGA has questions and concerns regarding the possibility of raising the athletics fee. A proposal is under consideration to increase the fee, but no decision has been finalized. Currently, the athletics fee is the highest of the 9 fees students pay, in addition to their tuition. Students are charged $20.60 per credit hour for the athletics fee, or $309 if a student wants to take 15 credit hours. Quote, "It sticks out because of the cost, and that is understandable. It is no lie that many colleges like Tech are struggling right now with costs rising and attendance dropping," end quote. Kevin Solomon, Dean for Student Engagement and SGA Advisor, said, "To increase or enact any fee that applies to the student body, it must go through the Tech's Fee Subcommittee and eventually get passed to the Budget Advisory Committee for consideration, and last to the President and Executive Members." Quote, "Money is a tricky thing to talk about. We are not up in arms against or for it. SGA is just asking questions and giving their feedback," Solomon said. SGA is the official student voice to the university's administration. Its mission is to represent students' interests and enhance the students' decision-making process to improve campus life. Quote, "We want to think about current students and future students when any fee comes to us. Everyone gets to send in questions, and we work through them and reword them if need be, and we send them back in," end quote. Brittany Shannon, SGA president, said, "Some of the questions SGA asked were what the athletic fee includes, what are the costs associated with the increase of higher roster numbers, and is the fee increase a solution for a temporary problem related to the high inflation rate and increase on the U.S. economy?" Quote, "Our main goal was to ask how and why this might be happening. We are hoping that if they take our questions and address them, that we would build this bond between the student body and the administration," end quote, Shannon said. "As of right now, no final decisions has been made over the fee." Editor's note, we will follow the story as it develops further.
To stay updated on the situation, make sure to pick up our weekly newspaper, which is available for free in multiple locations on campus, such as the library and BazTech, or visit our website at architectnews.com. Our next story comes from contributing writer Jacqueline LeBeth and covers the reopening of the Williamson Building.
The rededication ceremony of Williamson Hall took place March 3rd at 2 p.m. In attendance were students, staff members, alumni, and distinguished guests. Vice President for Advancement, Jason Geekin, served as the Master of Ceremonies and offered an official welcome at the start of the ceremony. Following Geekin was Interim Vice President for Academic Affairs, Dr. A.J. Anglin, in the place of Dr. Robin Bowen, Tech President. Anglin spoke of the love for Williamson Hall remaining in the hearts after the tragic fire that damaged the building in April of 2019. Introduced by Anglin was Leanna Hampton, the granddaughter of Marvin Williamson, the man for whom the hall owes its namesake. Quote, "I can't help but cry," unquote, Hampton said as she looked upon the restored Williamson. Hampton recalled the cherished memories in Williamson Hall. Quote, "When I was young, I would come here with my grandfather. We would go sit in the radio station and watch the records spin," unquote. Hampton later would attend and graduate from ATU. Following England was remarks from Dr. Judy Sezzo, the Dean of the College of Engineering and Applied Sciences. Parks, Recreation, and Hospitality Administration Program Director Dr. Kathy McMahon also spoke. Both Sezzo and McMahon spoke of the journey leading up to the final move back to Williamson Hall on December 6, 2021, and their love for those who offered support along the way. Quote, "Welcome home to Williamson," unquote, McMahon said at the closing of her speech. The keynote speaker of the ceremony was Arkansas State Auditor Andrea Lee, who spoke of her journey as a non-traditional student at ATU in the 2000s and of her history at ATU. Lee was inducted into Tech's Hall of Distinction on February 3, 2022, under the Distinguished Alumni Service category, while serving her second term as Arkansas State Auditor. Lee closed her speech with, quote, "May God bless this building and all who use it. May their lives lead to the service of others for the well-being of all," unquote.
Our next piece is an editorial concerning the recent removal of the Tech mask mandate and the paper's official stance on it.
As of last week, Arkansas Tech students and staff are no longer required to wear masks. After nearly 2 years of wearing masks, this is a big change for Tech, and many other schools in the state who are also relaxing mask mandates. The Arkitech editorial board respects the reasons behind this ruling. However, we believe it would not be the optimal choice, and we have concerns over a virus resurgence. We believe that wearing masks during such a violent pandemic is a necessary habit of safety. Cases are decreasing, but the pandemic has not ended. COVID-19 is unpredictable, and a new mutation could occur at any time. We believe that upending the mandate can be compared to ceasing antibiotics when one feels better. If a patient does not take the prescribed dose, the sickness could return. Taking the necessary precautions, such as social distancing and wearing masks, is part of why the number of cases have dropped. However, if we are not careful, they may return with a brutal vengeance. We also think that by ending the mask requirements, the school may be giving off the impression that it isn't as concerned about students' health and safety as it should be. This is especially important, considering some students that attend can be considered high risk, not to mention those who have high-risk family members that they live with. It is also important to consider that not all students and staff are vaccinated, thus making transmission far easier than it would be if one was vaccinated. The architect believes that it is far better to be safe than be sorry. We worry that now, once Pandora's box has been opened, it will be difficult to close. Meaning, if a mask mandate needs to be enforced again due to an uptick in cases, it will be very difficult to do so. We agree that masks are inconvenient. They can be uncomfortable and make communication difficult. However, we think that this inconvenience is mild and ultimately better than a campus full of sick students. Masks may be annoying, but they are essentially victimless. The same cannot be said for COVID-19. What would it hurt if the school kept mask requirements for a little bit longer? The Arkitech editorial board believes that safety should be the number one priority of Tech students.
If you have any comments, questions, or suggestions, make sure to leave them on our website, Instagram, Facebook, or on our Twitter at The Arkitech. Our final piece of the day comes from co-editor-in-chief Jonah Mitchell and concerns the misrepresented war weapon of the past.
Spears are, without a doubt, the weapon that propelled humanity into a different age. The journey starts with proto-humans and sharpened sticks hunting for their next meal, and extends through to 1951, where the last historically documented bayonet charge took place in Korea. For the sake of this argument, I am including bayonets as a form of spear. There is no doubt that spears have been humanity's weapon of choice for a very long time, but why are they so misrepresented in the media? Several examples come to mind when I think of how disrespected the spear has been in modern interpretations. The classic tabletop role-playing game, Dungeons & Dragons, is notorious for making this weapon terrible. In every iteration of the game, swords have dealt consistently more damage than the spear. In fact, it outclasses it so much that the only reason why one would use a spear in this fantasy setting is merely for the aesthetics. The same goes for video games, with statistics constantly and consistently keeping the spear as a low-damage weapon. Dark Souls is especially bad about nixing the genuine ability this polearm possesses. The media loves their sword and shield duels because they feel it looks cooler and will attract a bigger audience, but this is not the case, as seen in The Stormlight Archives by Brandon Sanderson. One of the main characters, Kaladin, uses a spear to great effect. He wields the weapon through a combination of thrusts and swings. While the choreography may be exaggerated when compared to how the weapon is used in real life, it is no more exaggerated than the bombastic sword duels depicted in movies. Either weapon can make the viewer's imagination jump to life. Why give all the glory to the sword when the spear is just as interesting? Media representation aside, spears have had very blatant historical advantage. The untrained commoner could use a spear, and often to great effect. This is compared to a sword, which takes years to fully master. Not to mention that swords were mostly taught for dueling, tournaments, and sports more than it was taught for war. In a practical wartime setting, the spear was the way to go, and swords were a last resort in many combat scenarios. There's no denying that there are other martial weapons that are cooler, but the spear does not deserve all the hate it receives in modern media interpretations. I think it is foolish that spears do not get the attention they deserve, especially given the fact that they remain one of the most important weapons in human history.
This has been The Architect Introspect on 91.9 KXRJ. For more information on any of the stories you've listened to today, make sure to check out our website at architectnews.com. The music of today's broadcast was provided by C418 and is called Stall. You can find more music from C418 on YouTube and Spotify or at c418.org. Thank you for tuning in, and we'll be back next Friday at 5 p.m.